And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn
my family
years
really
ago,
intense
I was invited to a party.
Totally
door,
different.
And I never was
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
And that means it's time for another edition of Xfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens. Joining me now in the studio is the co-founder of Xfabula, Leah Delaney. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Trying to stay warm and cozy.
I know it's getting so cold again.
Yeah, but it fits right in with our theme for this week. But before we get to that,
I
want to ask you just a little bit for people who aren't familiar with Xfabula. Tell us a little bit about your...
Our organization.
Yeah.
No problem. Well, we've been around for 7 years now. This is our seventh season. Our mission of our nonprofit organization in Milwaukee is to hold storytelling events in Milwaukee that have real, true, personal stories brought by Milwaukeeans to our stage and microphones to thereby create a better sense of community in the city. And we've started out doing story slams, of which we still do on a monthly basis. We have one coming up, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we always throw a theme out, and we ask people to come to the stage with a 5-minute real true personal story based on that theme. Really gotten into the community. We do a lot of community collaborations at this point. We did an artist in residency at the John Michael Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan. But, you know, we really want to focus in on Milwaukee and really unearth a lot of those really great personal stories from people. And we're continuing to do it this day.
And what is the theme then for this week?
Well, the theme is Cabin Fever. Reason why we picked that for this week is that we have a show, a collaboration on Saturday on the 13th. We're going to be at Anodyne Coffee as well as Panallure, which is a band. So we're going to be, Xfabula is going to be providing storytellers, and then we're also going to have music intertwined with those stories. We did this last year, and it was a hit. And I can't think of a better way than to spend a nice chilly Saturday night tucked in at Anodyne Coffee, staying warm and listening to stories. It's going to be a fantastic event.
What are we going to hear then today on that theme?
Well, we're going to start out our show today with a story from a woman named Linda Martin. And she told a story at our Coming of Age event. Here is Linda Martin's Cabin Fever story.
Give it up for Linda!
Okay. It's kind of nice that I can't see everyone. I gave it up. I gave it up for Jimmy. And that's what my story's about. Because Jimmy was the hungry boy who dared. And I was ready to dare, too. Okay? And so it's a little embarrassing, you know what I mean? But I mean, that's what coming of age is about. Okay? So picture this. And don't worry, it's PG-13. Okay, it's spring, it's the end of my sophomore year in school, I'm 16. And I'm going with Jeff. Jeff is my boyfriend, whatever that meant. Which basically at that point meant nothing. It meant he sat next to me in a class and said, do you wanna go out? And I said, yeah, but I was really looking over here at somebody else. Okay, so I was going with Jeff. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day, kind of like today, except it was spring and it was gorgeous. And the bell rings and we all pile out of the school and I'm with Jeff and my friend Donna and Kathy and da-da-da-da and Jim and Jeff's friends and Jimmy was one of them. And because it was spring and I was so excited to be free from school, I just like raced across the field, you know, screaming and running or whatever. And half expecting Jeff to come running after me. And then all of a sudden I'm like scooped up and I feel somebody, you know, I'm spun around and, you know, then we fall and I'm on the grass and looking up at the beautiful sky, but it's not Jeff, it's Jimmy. So that's how Jimmy became the hungry boy who dared. And I call him the hungry boy because we were together a year and he was 16 also. And my parents fed him for that year. Because I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. So if you wanted to hang out with me, you had to be at my house. So basically my parents fed him and he was 6 foot tall. So he was the hungry boy who dared and we did dare and it was wonderful. And we were together a year, okay? And flash forward 35 years later, 40 years later, whatever it was, and through Facebook, I reconnect with Jimmy. Okay, and over the course of, you know, connecting, I realized that how fortunate we were, and that for him it was the same thing. It was two 16-year-olds daring. It was two 16-year-olds finding out together what it meant. And, you know, a year later, I dumped him for his best friend. Okay, but it wasn't until much later that I realized that it was special. At the time, it was my story, it was his story, it was our story, but that's all it was. It wasn't until, and here comes the hard part, it wasn't until I started talking to other friends and talking to people I knew and seeing what other people went through that I realized that not everybody had that, and that was special. I'll tell you a funny story. I have a brother who's 2 years younger than me, and we're really close. So when he was 16, I was 18, and he was dating his girlfriend, and they were very much like Jimmy and I were, and I could see, you know, they were just cute and in love, you know? And I didn't remember this, but recently when I was telling him about this story that I was working on and about reconnecting with Jimmy, he said, yeah, you spoiled that for me. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, remember that night Mom and Dad went away that weekend and Trace and I were going to, you know, and you sat her down and said, you know, Trace, you don't have to do this. And he said, yeah, you screwed that for me. And I said, well, you did eventually. And he said, well, yeah, but first I did Mary O'Malley up against the, you know, the back of the gym. And I'm like, oh. And so that's kind of a coarse way of putting it, but he didn't have that same experience that I had, and Trace did because he didn't tell her the truth. So basically, you know, that's kind of like one example of how a coming of age is different, and how, you know, eventually he and Trace were together for about the same amount of time Jamie and I were, and, you know, she wasn't any the wiser, except now that she knows because I'll post this on the web or something. But I have a sister, too. And she's she's a year younger than my brother, so she's 3 years younger than me. And she and I are tight. We are best friends, and we always have been. And we've been through everything, and we've talked about every shameful, horrible thing, including really bad things. And a year ago, when she was 51 years old, she told me that her first time was when she was raped in junior high. And I'm leaving you on this, and that's bad, but to think that somebody could hold on to that long makes me ill. And I have teenagers, and I will say that both my kids, Larry, are probably having very similar experiences to what I had. All I want is that nobody has to go through what my sister went. And if it does happen, that at least she finds a voice. So I'm careful now about how I tell people about how lucky I am that I lost my virginity to a wonderful young kid who was the same age as me and it was awesome. Because not everybody has that, but all I can do is wish for that. Thank you.
And that was Linda Martin's story. We were talking about being cozy and really a wonderful thing to keep intact when we're going through this Game of Thrones winter in Milwaukee. But what's that term? I think it's Swedish or German about like, it's like a verb of being cozy. Or
yeah,
something
there's
like
a German term I've learned. It's okay. Called Gemütlichkeit.
That's it.
And it's like coziness, but it doesn't translate exactly to that, but it's like ultimate coziness.
Our last story for the day is Jean Andrew. And here we go talking about a little bit more about snow. So here's Jean Andrew's story.
I remember the winters that we had when I grew up in Port Washington. It seemed that we had more snow than ever, so much snow that they'd pile it up on the side of the road and we could actually dig tunnels in it. And then I grew up and away from home, and it seemed that for many years in southeast Wisconsin, winters were pretty punk. But it gets better. My first teaching job was in Upper Michigan, in a small little town surrounded by ski hills in the snow belt. And we had so much snow up there that they didn't ever plow the road down to the road. It was just plow it down to the next hard level of snow. Nobody ever shoveled sidewalks. You just kind of dug out to the street, and then you walked on the street. The snow plows came through and piled up such piles of snow along there that you had to look just to see the street signs peeking up over the top. And recreation on a good day, when there was a blasting blizzard going through, you strapped on the snowshoes and went out and faced it up and down the hills. But it gets better. One year I decided to go and visit two girlfriends and had moved to Washington, D.C. They were Wisconsin girls, still drove a car with Wisconsin license plates on it. And it was kind of weird coming from Upper Michigan and arriving in D.C. in shirt sleeve weather. But it gets better. They had weather reports out. A New Year's Eve day, they were expecting 4 to 6 inches of snow. And the city was in panic. I mean, we went by and we saw cars and people out there putting cardboard over the windshields. And then we went down to Georgetown to get some wine to go with the cheese we brought from Wisconsin and came out into these beautiful, big, fat, fluffy snowflakes, elephant dandruff, floating down and piling up, and all the locals were hunched under umbrellas. And there were two ladies under umbrellas at the bus stop, and one of them said, "I do declare I never said so much snow in all my entire life." And I just wanted to reach into my pocket and pull out that Polaroid picture of me standing between two snowdrifts in the backyard of the school up to here. "My lady, you haven't seen anything about snow." But it gets better. The two Wisconsin girls decided that this would be a good night to return the somebody's dress that they had borrowed. And so we all piled into their Wisconsin license plate car and drove all the way across into Arlington. There was hardly a car on the road. And we get into this neighborhood, and one runs up and rings the doorbell and said, "Hi, what are you doing out in this? Come in, you can stay overnight with us." Neighborhood New Year's Eve parties were canceled. They wouldn't even go across the street. But it gets better. On the way back to our apartment, we stopped by way of the Lincoln Memorial, and there's just nothing like walking up to that Lincoln Memorial just about midnight in a snowstorm. Now, they have lights all night long, and they've got guards there, too. And, you know, at first I didn't notice the guards at the stop until we had gone up and then came back to the car, and I said, "Wait, what are they doing up there?" And what these two young guards were doing was making a snowman, the only way that Atlantic Coast people, beach people, would know how to do one. They had a little square wastebasket, and they were shoving it with snow and turning it upside down. But it gets better. Left Washington, D.C. in clear, clear weather and hit the biggest snowstorm that ever was. All the way up the east coast of Wisconsin, all the way across the UP, and I was taking a bus back, because the bus always goes through, but that's another story. And I was hopeful, because after you go all the way up and all the way across the UP and this blizzard is still raging the whole state, I begin to have hope. The next day was school. After Christmas vacation, we're going to have a snow day. We're going to have a snow day. It blasted all the way into town. I asked Alette to get off at the creamery on the corner, half a block from school. And then through the blasting thing, I thought I saw a bunch of eighth grade boys going by. I was like, school off and they got to still see if it's standing? And then all of a sudden, the whole student body was there on the street and somebody came and picked me up and took me along. And I was like, what? They're still in school. And at that moment, I coined the phrase that even if the whole world closed down for another glacial age, they'd still have school in Upper Michigan. And now we've had some lovely, beautiful days, soft, lovely snow we can all appreciate. And for those of us that love winter and snow, it gets better.
And and that was Jean Andrews' story under the umbrella theme of cabin fever.
For people who want to go to an event and see some of the storytelling live, there are some events coming up.
Yes. Well, again, Saturday, we have the event at Anodyne, the collaboration between Panalure and Exfabula. And then on Tuesday, the 16th, we are jumping back into another story slam. It's our February slam. The theme is fatherhood. So we're hoping to hear Milwaukeeans talk about their experiences with fatherhood. And I think there's going to be some really enlightening and potentially pretty emotional stories up ahead for that.
All right. Well, Leah, I wish you a very cozy weekend and happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
Exfabula is a regular feature on Lake Effect Weekend. It was hosted this week by WUWM's Rachel Owens.